Holger, what is WEC? What does that mean?
WEC stands for Wildlife Habitat Effectiveness and Connectivity. So overall, we're trying to see, with all the mining going on in northern Alberta, we try to see if there's still enough habitat there for wildlife to move freely between home ranges and between different areas.
Now, last year at the Conrad Symposium, you presented some of your research and findings on the moose tracking that you've been doing. And this year, you've talked about wolves. So what exactly are you doing with wolves?
We're doing actually pretty similar things. We put radio collars on wolves to track their movements mainly. So that entails obviously catching them and attaching a collar to the wolf. And then we get the wolf location sent to us through the computer. And we can pretty much real life now with the new technology follow the wolves on a daily base on the computer, seeing where they walked. And given that we are looking into connectivity, we are really interested in seeing how wolves move between mines. Do they walk along rivers or linear features, or how do they move where and at what times is really what it comes down to.
How many wolves are out there?
Overall, that's a very good question. That's the million-dollar question, really. I can't tell you how many there are in total. I can tell you how many we've seen. So in the greater McMurray area, that's pretty much a box 50 kilometers east-west and 100 kilometers north-south, north of Fort McMurray, that entails all the current open pit mining. We have caught wolves out of 10 packs, and they average at about 5 to 9 wolves per pack, so roughly 60, 70 wolves in that area. However, we believe there's 2 more packs in that area, so make that a rough 80 maybe.
So what are some of the things that you're finding out about these wolves?
Well, we look into home range size, so we try to see what area overall they use, and we look into movements. And we've seen, and I'm really trying to crunch my numbers here right now, we've seen home range sizes from anywhere between 500 square kilometers up to almost 2,000 square kilometers, which is pretty big. They cover a lot of ground and need a lot of habitat. The movement speed or movement range that we see is they move about 1.5 kilometers in a 3-hour time frame. So then I'm saying 3 hours because that's the interval that we take locations at. So that's my best guesstimate. So you'll have to do the math on how many kilometers that is per day. I can't do that like right now, but it's pretty much averaged as far as comparing this to other studies. There's no surprises there. They don't move faster or slower, as far as I know so far anyways.
And is there any interaction between the packs and their territories?
Yes and no. Generally, the packs really have quite a defined home range. So there's boundaries where the two packs meet potentially and mark the territory, but it's usually well respected. However, there's actually 2 packs in the southern area of the study area that are currently overlapping. So we don't really know what's going on. It's a little bit like a habitat conflict going on potentially. So there's one pack that seems to be moving into the home range of another pack. So it's very exciting for us to follow, and we can see that, you know, wolf X from one of the packs is actually moving into another home range more and more. Unfortunately, given that we only have 1 or 2 radio collars per pack, this is our, you know, our one wolf. So if we find like someone who's a little more adventurous than other wolves, then we might just see that and then assume the whole pack is doing something, but it might not be the case. But it's exciting to see how the packs interact and how things are changing potentially.
I think you referred to it as a soap opera.
A little bit, yeah. Wolves are kind of funny that way. We always have that romantic notion that the pack is this family group that never changes and they all stick together, which is partially true, but sometimes there's a little bit of a soap opera going on indeed. And, you know, one wolf is moving over and seeing someone from the other pack, and it's a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet story where you're going to go over to the enemy every once in a while, I guess.
What are these wolves eating?
That's a very good question. We kind of assume they eat mostly moose up in that area because there's a lot of moose there. And that was only partially true. moose for sure, but we also find a lot of beaver get eaten, and we actually find that by collecting scats and going through the wolf scats and determining the hair that's inside of the scat. And we found that at least in spring 2012, so this is my snapshot, in that particular time frame, we found that almost half of their diet actually consists of beaver. And they do eat moose as well, and then there's deer, and then I think on the third level there's bunnies, like hare, snowshoe hare is what they eat. Those are the four main species.
Now, tell me a little bit more about this diet of beaver. How is it that they're finding the beaver?
Well, we actually found following the wolves on the ground, and you know, we try to ground truth our data every once in a while. So we go into the locations that we see on the computer maps, and we've actually found a couple of wolf dens. And it seems like some of those packs really like to build their dens in existing beaver lodges, which is a perfect combination because you get a house and you also get free food. You just eat the beavers that are already there. So that's why I'm saying our result of beaver being part of the diet is only a snapshot of that spring study period that we conducted, because in winter, for example, they are most likely not going to eat that much beaver because the beavers are obviously in their lodges deep down and inaccessible for wolves. So we're actually collecting scats as we speak right now, and we'll see what they eat in winter. I assume it's more moose and deer than beaver in winter.
Now, in terms of the how they're getting around and the connectivity for the wolves, where are you finding that they're mostly traveling? Is it near the rivers?
Yes and no. So we've looked so far, and again, this is just a preliminary look at the data, but we've looked at linear features and at and rivers so far. And really, for now, all we've done is counting wolf dots on a map and then kind of compare rivers to linear features and open areas. And it seems like indeed a quarter of the time they are actually moving close to rivers. So the rivers seem to be somewhat important. It's a little early to really stress that, but there's surely something going on. Also interesting is that when I say river, we actually work with a 2 kilometer buffer, so 1 kilometer on each side of the river that I call river habitat. And within that, the area or the buffer zone that the animals use most is within 100 meters of both sides of the river, which anecdotally makes sense, especially later in the year when the water is really low. You know, you have the boreal forest, which is even for a wolf quite a struggle to walk through. And then you have low water, sandy river shores where you can just book it up and down the river without, you know, having to climb a tree or anything. So from a wolf perspective, or even from a human perspective, it makes complete sense.
So what you've presented is your snapshot so far. What are the next steps for you?
The wolves are still collared, so we're monitoring the wolves ongoing. And as I mentioned before, we are doing scat collections in winter because we want to see what they eat in winter as opposed to beaver. We're also going to repeat the scat collections next spring, just to see if the beaver results were a fluke or this is actually a pattern that will remain. And then also we are quite excited. We have gotten more radio collars to put out on the wolves that are actually working at a faster pace. So there's more locations for me to work with, which makes our movement data much more accurate.
We've got a fair bit of snow cover this year. How do the wolves work with the snow?
That's a very good question. We actually look at that too. So right now I actually have a team in the field and we're measuring snow depth. As goofy as it sounds, it's really just a matter of sticking a meter stick down to the snow to see how deep it is. Because we want to relate wolf travel speed to the snow conditions. Obviously, we expect in deeper snow the wolves will have a harder time moving, especially right now with the snow. It's very cold and very fluffy, so the tracks we find, the wolves sink very deep, so their bellies are pretty much scratching on the surface of the snow. They really have to dig deep through the snow. And then we expect that to change drastically when it starts melting and the surface of the snow will actually freeze, because then wolves are actually known for being on top of the snow, which really gives them advantage over ungulates with their comparably small feet. They'll be crushing through the snow in that frozen surface and get stuck almost, and then wolves have a really good time. That's the peak time for wolves as far as hunting goes.
Just kind of looking ahead, how might industry use the results of the work that you're doing?
Well, given that this is part of a bigger project, we had the moose that we talked about last year, and we have a remote camera monitoring program going on, and we have the wolves radio collared. All this is going to be tied together by a bunch of grad students at the University of Alberta. And we hope to find a good answer for what habitat is important to maybe preserve in the future. Where do animals move more than in other areas? What's the connectivity like, and what can we do to maintain connectivity, or what can be changed or kept to maintain a healthy animal population within the oil sands?
Are you seeing any red flags so far?
It's a little early to say that. There's a couple of areas that most definitely have caught our attention, where industry has gone like fairly close to certain areas that we think may or may not be important. But at this point, I'd rather not say something that I have to take back next year.
Thank you very much, Holger.
You're most welcome. Thank you.